Well, my name is Mike Adamczak, and a Polish priest with the last name Czyzyk, C-Z-Y-K, he said that last part of the C-Z-Y-K, which Adam, C-Z-Y-K is Adamczak, that's how I say it. But he said you're supposed to say Zick, Adam Zick, because his name is Czyzyk. And he says that last part stands for son of. So the last four letters, I'm Mike Adamczak, son of Adam, child of God. I like that. And like all fathers, our Heavenly Father, He has a plan for my life and for yours, if you are in Christ. God's plan for your life. Have you ever been told that? God's got a plan for your life. We know when you become a follower of Jesus, they go, God's got a plan for your life. There's even little, back in the 80s and 70s, there's those little booklets, God's plan for your life. You know, but the problem with that is then you spend the whole rest of your life trying to figure out what is God's plan for my life. Well, from what we've heard over the last few weeks, God's plan for your life is this, is to mold and shape you into His image and likeness and through the events and experiences of your life, as well as the family of God, this fellowship. We're like living stones, God is trying to fit together, and a lot of times there's rough edges. I don't have any more rough edges, but you guys do. You're a rough-looking crowd, I think Peter said, right? So, no, I'm just kidding. But God does use one another, your family, your kids, to develop your character. I was telling Micah as Karis was beating up on him this morning. And and one another, brothers and sisters in the community, the family of God. So, there you go. Now you don't have to worry any longer if you are in or out of His plan. So, 4 weeks ago, we heard from Ron Freeman tell us about Jesus' prayer from the cross, that He, Jesus, demonstrated His faithfulness to His Father's plan for His life, and consequently, all of humanity. 3 weeks ago, we heard from Krista Barlow, and she was telling us about trusting Jesus with all of your life, that He is faithful, and He's calling us back to Him, kind of like that song that we just sang, The Reckless Love of God. No matter what we've done, Krista was saying, step back into the boat fully, not just with one foot in the boat and one on the shore, because when Jesus starts to move the boat out into deeper waters, you have to fully commit. So jump in. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. 2 weeks ago, we heard from Paul Hamilton about God's faithfulness to his parents as God called them to be missionaries in India. And then how God cared for Paul all through that boarding school from 6 years up until when he graduated, through secondary education, meeting Lynn through sickness that was supposed to kill them, housing provisions beyond their wildest dreams, and teaching at the same boarding school many years later, learning to trust and surrender to Jesus' plan. And then last week, we heard from Bob Van Tol and how their world was turned upside down as they sensed God leading them out of full-time ministry, and they thought, based on previous experiences, into another full-time ministry. And it was at that moment God became silent. And then bad stuff started to happen to them and to their family. You know, and there's books written about things like that. Philip Yancey, Where is God When It Hurts? Obviously, it's not just the Van Tols that are going through it. Disappointment with God. Have you ever been disappointed with God? Holding on to your faith even when God doesn't make sense. These are just a smattering that I just pulled off my shelf. I'm sure you've probably read some of them. Seems there's a theme here that God has got a plan for all of our lives. Bob said that the faithfulness of God is often seen in the rearview mirror of our life. In other words, keep reading the story. Your story is not over yet. Keep reading. So, our story, Eileen and I, we started in Comox, right here on Vancouver Island in 1978. I came to faith in Christ, not here, it was over in Vancouver, but 2 weeks later, it was here that I met Eileen. But a year before that, I was in basic training in Cornwallis, Nova Scotia. The military does everything alphabetically, so Glenn Anderson was in the bunk above me, and he was a follower of Jesus. And he tried to tell me about Jesus. However, my mom taught me to be kind to people like him. And so I refused kindly everything he was offering. We made it through basic training, and off we went to Kingston and Borden, Ontario, for a nine-month trades training. And because the military does everything alphabetically, Glenn was in the same room as me. And he continued to try and tell me about Jesus, and I continued to kindly refuse. At the end of trades training, I got my very first posting to Comox. And guess who else got posted to Comox? Yeah, Glenn Anderson. What's with that, eh? So we drove out together in my car from southern Ontario, and by this time he had stopped trying to tell me about Jesus. But he told his mom, and his mom is a prayer warrior. And so when we got to Glenn's place in Port Moody, BC, they showed me the love of Christ. It just happened, there's another backstory to that. My car was leaking oil, so I couldn't, I got it fixed there, so that meant I had to wait that weekend for the part to come on Monday, so I went to church with them, and yeah, one thing after another. I heard the gospel preached, they were demonstrating it, I responded, and I repented, and I surrendered to a new life in Christ, totally cleansed, washed and forgiven. Wow, it was a whole new life. I was just, you know, they say born again. It was just, yeah, that was my experience. 2 weeks later, I met Eileen after that significant event here at, in Courtney. And one year later, we were married. That was in 1979. So since then, she has been molding and shaping me into the man that you see before you today. Yeah, there we are. That's when I met her. That's where she worked, at the headquarters, as a civilian. And that good-looking guy beside her, that was me. So, God is good. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. In the midst of transition, he does not change. The move west to Vancouver Island was life-changing, to say the least. Seeing and experiencing the mountains and oceans for the very first time, a new life in Christ, a beautiful, lovely redhead who was as passionate about Jesus Christ as I was, life was complete. This is where I would stay for the rest of my life. If the military posted me, I would get out and grow my hair long and pump gas at 7-Eleven. Yeah. We all don't know things, sometimes how things are going to go. So I wanted to learn so much about Jesus, and so I started taking Bible college correspondence courses with the idea that maybe I would become a pastor one day, because I felt this was the best way to tell people about Jesus, was to be a pastor. In the midst of change and transition, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. However, 7 years later, the military said, "How would you like to go to Germany?" That was just a nice way to say, you're posted to Germany. And so off we went to southern Germany with two little children, Aaron and Bethany, and a desire to explore the new season of life that God had for us. Those 4 years were a time of learning and discerning as I prepared for church ministry through correspondence courses while working in the Canadian Forces as an aircraft electrician. We got involved in the base chapel at Baden, and learned that people of other denominations loved Jesus just as much as we did. Amazing. It was here that I began to question my call and direction to church ministry. And I was asking Jesus, hey, is this still your plan for my life? It's been such a long time. Well, the base chapel had a Sunday night service that was run by the Salvation Army. And once a month, the laity got to run the service. And it was my turn to preach. And that night, a new chaplain, Doug Friesen, was just posted in. And so he attended the evening service to check out who he was going to be working with. So after the service, Doug came up to me and he said, well, that was a great message. Have you ever considered going into church ministry? Yeah, well, talk about a clear word from the Lord. In the midst of change and transition, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So the military posted us back to Canada after 4 years, and I was really hoping it would be Comox again. However, they sent me to an air base in northern Alberta called Cold Lake. Care to guess why it's called Cold Lake? Yeah, I've often joked that in the summertime, the ice just kind of sank 5 feet below the surface, because if you stop swimming and you treaded water, you're within a matter of seconds, your toes became numb. The town of Cold Lake is where we discovered the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. Tom Fair was the pastor with Kevin Hogan there at the time. And it was a healthy, well-balanced church of young families and older, wise people, sort of like Living Hope. Yeah, it was great. We got involved with the life of the church, and it was there in Cold Lake that we had our third and last child, Josiah. And then in the midst of change and transition, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And through many conversations and prayers with the leadership of the church there over those 6 years, we decided to take an early retirement from the military and go back to school to complete the education that I needed to become a pastor, which I still felt he was calling me to. We decided on Canadian Theological Seminary, CTS, which was the Alliance Seminary located in Regina, Saskatchewan at the time. And that's where we met Steve and Esther. They were studying there at the same time, too. CTS now is located in Calgary. It's a little bit warmer. And our first week in seminary, though, Josiah, our youngest, he got really sick. He was 14 months old at the time. And previous to this, the doctors in Cold Lake had prescribed an antibiotic, Moxil, over and over and over again for a sinus infection that he had. When we got to Regina, Josiah, he started to dirty his diapers every 10 minutes. We took him to a doctor 4 or 5 times that first week in September, and the doctor kept sending us home saying there was nothing wrong with him, he'll be fine. And at the end of the week, Josiah's eyes, they glassed over, and he did not want to get out of his crib. He was losing weight. We took him once more to see the doctor, and this time, though, there was a new doctor in his place, and she took one look at him and sent him off to the hospital. Thank you, Jesus. He had a staph infection in his bowel, which was caused by too many doses of antibiotics. His bowel was disintegrating. And while in Regina Hospital there, 3 specialists, praise the Lord, came to check him out. And one of the specialists discovered that Josiah had a hydrocele that our doctor in Cold Lake said that he would grow out of it. And the doctor said in Regina said, that's not true. And he recommended immediate operation to prevent gangrene from settling in. The doctors also addressed and fixed a very serious hernia that was undetected. So yeah, bad things happen for good, eh? The staff and the students of CTS, they rallied around us in prayer and physically supported us. They didn't know us, but they support us with meals to keep us going. These relationships formed in the crucible of suffering became very strong and deep very quickly, which helped us get through the ups and downs of seminary life. And this is a recent picture of Josiah, doing very well, married 5 years, lovely to a girl named Sarah. Why are all the girls named Sarah? So. Such nice people, yeah. And it was also during these 3 years that God showed his faithfulness in answering prayer. The required exams, book reports, and papers, they tend to enrich one's prayer life, right, Micah? Yeah. Miracles are a daily occurrence in seminary. 3 years later, we graduated from CTS because Eileen, she proofread all of my papers and assignments, and I believe my grades went up a whole grade point average because of her suggestions, and she still proofreads my sermons today, so now you know my secret. So so I was really hoping and praying that we would get a call west to the west coast of Canada after we graduate from seminary. If not the island, then at least the warm interior of BC. However, the only church west that needed a pastor was a little Alliance church 30 minutes south of Coal Lake, the Bonneville Fellowship Alliance Church. Yeah. Thanks, Arnold. And Arnold was a DS there from, well, 91, was it? Yeah, up to 99. There was like a long time. So I got there in 97. And then in the midst of change and transition, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's a few pictures there of us at the Bonneville Fellowship Alliance Church. And you know, God has a sense of humor. The longer you, yeah, he's just a fun-loving dad, eh? Yeah. And he, you know, he pursues us and he wants to change us and he just won't leave us where we're at. So off we went to our first church as a Christian Mission Alliance pastor. My lifelong dream to become a pastor was about to transpire. 2 years later, I was ordained in 2000 and having the time of my life, the daily grind of conflict resolution, power struggles, and misunderstandings filled my week. So this is what it was all about. Yeah. Many conversations with senior and seasoned pastors there in that area, and the district superintendent, it wasn't Arnold by that time, revealed that this was normal relationships within the body. Remember, God uses all things for good. What good? Yeah, to conform us into the image of his son. We heard that from Bob, Romans 8:29. A fellow pastor in the town there in Bonneville encouraged me to buy a burial plot as a sign of commitment to the community and the work that God had called me to there. The thought of staying in that small community for the rest of my life drove me to prayer. So, why do you laugh? What were you thinking? Yeah, that's right. Well, after about 6 months of wrestling in prayer, I finally submitted to God in his plan and said, okay, if you want me to stay here for the rest of my life, I'm yours. And I tend to be a little passive-aggressive. All the personality assessments say that this is my dark, sinful side. You know, he's still working on me. That's his plan, is to do that, eh? To change us into his image. So I experienced a renewed joy and energy and tackled whatever lay ahead. I thought, yeah, I can do this with his help. Shortly after that decision and before I could buy a burial plot, I got a phone call from an old military friend. And he called to suggest that I think about joining the military again, but this time as a chaplain. In fact, that is exactly what he had done, and he was talking to me from basic training camp in Borden. And I laughed. I said, no way. Been there, done that, moved on. But before he hung up, he said, I think you would be an excellent chaplain. And he encouraged me to pray about it. So in the midst of change and transition, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Forever, actually. And so I did what he said. I prayed, and I also talked to a number of close pastors in the Bonneville about this phone call. And I asked them to pray with me about what I should do, discern and asking for wise counsel. Was this God directing me down a path in another season of change? So they encouraged me to, they said they would pray, but they encouraged me to submit the paperwork application and see where it goes. If God was in it, they said, the doors would continue to open. And so off we went, one door after another, kept opening. And the last door was a week-long interview process with about 20 other ministers from various denominations who were going through the same doors. We all met in Ottawa with the Canadian Forces Chaplain Branch for a series of interviews and workshops. I felt I did really well at the end of that week. I had answered all the questions with confidence. After all, I had recently submitted my life back to God, and this was where he was leading me. I was a shoo-in. So we all went back to our respective homes and waited for a phone call from the chaplain branch to let us know if we had been selected. 4 months later, I got a call from the recruiting chaplain in Ottawa to tell me that I had been selected, but there were no more positions open. I was at the bottom of the list, and there were only 15 positions. I was devastated. I was shocked. The bottom of the list, how could, it can't be possible. I couldn't believe it. And I asked him, what should I do now? And he said, well, the chaplain who called, he said, if you believe that God has called you to ministry within the Canadian Armed Forces, then start the process all over again next year. I thanked him and hung up the phone. And my anger at God, I couldn't believe it. My anger at God for slamming the door in my face, it was actually a sign, eventually. It takes me a long time. But yeah, eventually, I realized that it was I wanted this chaplain gig. It was all about me. And I was proud of and following my own desires, my own plan. Isn't it neat how God reveals things to us? We think it's him, but then all of a sudden there's this stark reality that it's my sinful desire. Yeah. So after about a month of pouting and not talking to God, I got lonely. I was missing my Abba Father. You know what? He was waiting. He was waiting. Just waiting in the boat, like Krista said. His love drew me back, never-ending love that we sang about. And I stepped back into that boat, and I submitted once again. He is the same, yesterday and today and forever. He is more interested in our character development, the character of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17, in the New Living Translation, it says, "For the Lord is the Spirit, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us, there it is, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. He's constantly working in our lives, conforming and changing us into his glorious image. How about James? Remember when we started with James? A long time ago, we were preaching through the book of James. Don't we just love James? James chapter 1. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know," do you know? "You know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work." Where am I? Lost it here. Yeah, "let perseverance finish its work so that you may be" what? "Mature and complete, not lacking anything." So that was my, again, passive-aggressive encounter with God. He is more interested in my and yours, for that matter, character development. He's changing us into his glorious image by his Spirit through trials of many kinds, good and bad. He's more interested in being glorified through you and me than in our vocation in life, than in that new car or whatever else. And so the following year, I went through the whole recruiting process once again, this time with a humble, peaceful heart. I was leaving the results up to God. And if I was accepted, great. If I wasn't, great. I would buy that plot. Yeah. I would follow him. He knows. He knows what's best for my life and yours. Amen? So once again, we waited. And a few months after that second interview, the chaplain called and said, "I was accepted," and they had a position. That was 14 years ago. It has flown by so fast. Those 12 years as a chaplain were the most rewarding ministry experiences of my life so far. That's where we again met Matt and Rose in Toronto and the family there. The military, it's a subset of our society. It's another mission field right in our backyard. Military members, as well as the RCMP and their families, go through stuff that not many other citizens in Canada do. 0.19 or 0.2% of Canadians serve in the Canadian military. Comparison to that is in the United States, 1%. Of their population serve in the military. So we have a very small number. Many members are deployed and they come back with missing parts physically, emotionally, spiritually. And the families have to deal with that kind of stuff. And this is one reason why the church needs to be sensitive to the military and the RCMP families that are in their churches. Those families usually are not there very long, and they get really good at hiding their pain because they move so often. In the midst of change and transition, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. Change and transition, back to where it all began. Here we are, Comox. This time as a civilian, because the military, once you hit age 60, no matter who you are, it's bye, here's your, you know, they don't even gold watches anymore, so yeah, out you go, you're done. However, the one thing that Eileen and I have learned too is that over the years, that one does not need a position or a title to minister if you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's your ministry. It's my ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. We are what? Therefore, Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Why? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. Meditate on that this week. It'll blow your mind. That's amazing. The righteousness of God. And so, through each life experience, transition, and season of life, he has been the same. Always with us in the dry, scary times, times of rebellion and times of joy. Changing, always changing Eileen and me by his Spirit into his image and likeness. That's his plan for all of us. And then, of course, there is one last change and transition for all of us, in which we will experience Jesus Christ as the same forever. Amen? You can trust him through that change and transition as well. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, I encourage you to talk to someone here today before you leave and ask them how to do that. All right? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you do not change, that you love us with an everlasting love, that you have demonstrated that love for us. Your love endures forever, we heard. And we thank you for that, that you will not leave us alone, that you will continue to pursue us. Help us to respond a little quicker and submit to you and to your love, and allow that transformation to continue to work in us as you mold and shape us into your image and likeness. So the world be drawn to you. As you are lifted up, the world be drawn to you. So help us to be a part of that. It's your church. In Jesus' name, amen.